Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgara.
We'd like to wish you a happy day after Easter. It's currently Easter during this recording. The day, years ago, Jesus rose from his tomb and morphed into a rabbit who then brought the eggs of chickens to our sock drawers and nooks and crannies of the backyard, and that's the story, my friends, of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Gay-men.
Gay-men.
Gay-men. Gay-men.
And how they lube ya.
Oh, no. That's not what I thought I was participating
in. No, I'm sorry.
I meant to celebrate gay men through my voice.
You do the adult-like setup, and I'll do the childish punch.
That seemed like something you would have learned opening. Well, like the first weekend you open, you think, stand-up comedy, I'm going to learn from the greats. And then the headliner closes on gay men, hallelujah.
It's raining
men.
How they lube, yeah. I'm afraid that it's a joke of mine from like sixth grade where people would say amen and hallelujah at church and I would go gay men and how they lube
you. You wrote it?
Yeah, so it's a little less, it's a little actually mature if I'm doing it in church, a place where they're very anti-gay.
Yes.
So I was actually.
Is it a political act?
It's a very progressive joke.
Yes. And you were 12.
Yeah, and it's helping people, and I think it's helped that joke alone. It's helped us get where we are today. And by us, I mean me and my fellow gays.
Gay man.
I'm not gay, but if I was, that'd be fine. I wouldn't care. My life would be the same. Except way more struggle, and it would have been really difficult and still be more difficult than it is for me now. So
yeah.
That part, but I mean the way I enjoy myself.
Yeah, you mean more from a personal aspect
personal,
of just how
exactly.
You... Yeah, because you're just kind of... You go with it.
I did a show at Meltdown called Joke Thieves, and you have to... You do your own set, and then afterwards, there's a second half of the half of the show where you do the jokes of someone else you just watched, and I was assigned Guy Branum, and I have some jokes that are... As immature as the ones I've already told this episode, and he broke it down in a very funny way without getting too upset with me.
I'm sure he wasn't upset at all.
But it was fun to watch him do my jokes, and it was real fun to do his jokes.
You guys are a good combo.
It was a great show, because it's one of those shows where they enforce what seems like it's going to be homework, but it isn't. You just take notes while you're watching. And Arden
Marine
was really funny doing she did someone's jokes. Oh, I should know who was
Ray Romano.
It was a Ray Romano-ish guy. No, it was goddamn, he's in Women, he's hilarious.
Oh, Dave Ross?
Not Dave Ross.
Alan Strickland Williams.
Not Alan Strickland Williams.
Jake Wiseman.
It was Wiseman. Yeah, why? Good boy. Don't, I hope he doesn't tune in and realize I brain farted his name.
I'm going to tell him too.
Here's a name I won't brain fart. Today's guest. Yay. Currently sitting in the car waiting for it to be normal for her to talk. Our friend and yours, April Richardson.
AB!
I feel bad that maybe your audience will be bored of me, but I'm always in the car with you guys when you're not recording things. So
why not when we do?
Yeah.
Well, you are our first three-peat. Guest.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
I believe.
That's like Saturday. I want to get jackets like Tom Hanks and Steve Martin in the Five Timers Club.
You're our Alec Baldwin of this podcast, and it's because you're good at it.
And because I have swagger.
Can you guys...
And because you were at breakfast with me.
Explain that. Yes. Thank you for making yourself available. We booked the show kind of last minute sometimes because, you know, I was
very
traveling.
Available. This is my ride home from breakfast.
Oh, this is perfect. So yeah. We are... For those naysayers that say we're bending the rules, we're adhering today to the original mission statement. We are actually taking April home.
It's true.
Yeah. She did need a ride.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually driving toward the Burbank airport just for shits and gigs.
I'm flying home.
You're going to take a JetBlue over.
Know, it's funny. I do go to the airport when I have gigs, but I've never gone there when I had shits.
you would love it.
Some of my jokes are so dumb they cause sneezing. You're allergic to my jokes.
Now, what was gay about that joke, though?
Oh, nothing.
I love the How They Lube You joke. I stand by that.
Thank you.
However many years after... when did you say it? In sixth grade? Whatever. I stand by it.
I was a kid. Thank you. See, April's a good yes man.
Oh, no. This guy's limping. This dog's
a little
limping.
Limpy
oh,
dog.
No, that dog does not have much time left.
Yeah.
No.
On this earth.
No, that dog was... At first, I thought it was a three-legged dog, and I was be like, wonderful, internet star.
Right.
Now that I look, it's
just... Get it on a skateboard.
Come on, put some sunglasses on that motherfucker. Now that I look at it, it's just a dog so old that its owner is clearly walking it just for walking its sake.
Yeah. Oh, she's walking...
Now she's carrying it across the
carrying
road.
The dog.
Yeah.
Poor little pup.
Poor guy.
We love you.
You're right, though. When I see a three-legged dog, my pupils turn to dollar signs.
Yeah. For sure.
Money, 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 money.
Get sunglasses and a neckerchief on that thing.
Now, yep. Chris, do you ever think that you would cut off the leg of a dog to make money on the internet? What is going too far for you?
Is the actual cutting of the leg a video that goes viral?
Oh, you have, that's a double virality for your life.
Yeah.
So double the... You would cut off your own leg and replace it with a dollar sign.
This next video is called The Making of an Animal Star. And then Civil War.
You pull a poodle's tongue all the way out so it won't go back in.
Whiskey soaked rag.
I imagine the dog in a Civil War uniform, like a reenactor.
Yeah, playing a fife.
And I'm like, I'm afraid you got dysentery and gangrene. Your leg's gone gangrenous. And he's like, roar. And then me and a lumberjack just go with one of those old saws.
You're describing my literal worst. This is why we might have already talked about Civil War ghosts. That is such a... I'm going to have nightmares tonight about our jokey scenario.
Now, really? Because of the political, the strife of a civil
war?
North versus the South? Or
no,
just
the idea of the sawing of limbs.
Yeah, that's awful.
Again, with nothing but a whiskey-soaked rag to bite on.
Sure. But then imagine how easy the rest of your life would be. If you survive that, you don't die of gangrene, you get through it, the war's over, you open your own little hardware store, everything is a piece of cake.
No,
nothing
then you
that
die,
came up.
And then you haunt my parents' house in Georgia that's next to a battlefield.
Shit.
It's not, it's wait, too that close to home.
Wait, that happened?
I mean, not, I'm just saying, it's common.
It is common.
With that the homes around where my parents live now in Georgia.
And in some Scooby-Doo scripts.
Right,
when Jerry Reed
I mean,
is
I think
the guest.
We had this exact conversation.
We did.
Yeah.
But only because it is on my mind, like, all the time.
It is. I've had every conversation at least once on this podcast. I repeat myself. Because that's how I know I'll be a... I'm like a dad, or I will be a dad, or I'm like my dad. He would start to tell a story, and they're good stories, so we listen to them again. But
yeah,
but my sister would go like, "Oh, number 56 coming up." Like yeah. They had a story number.
Totally.
I had a friend, my friend Danny Ceballos. I don't know if you ever knew him, but he's hilarious and so funny. And one of the first people I met in LA, and he and I were friends for so long that he would start to tell the story, and we both knew I'd already heard it. We would tell each other repeat stories, pretending we'd never told them before, because they were just so good that we had to say it.
Oh, wow. And that was, you weren't podcasting, because we've done that, and you don't stop me, because it's like, well, maybe there's some new listeners.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But, no, he and I would do it to each other just purely because we couldn't stop. If you start the story about how we all stood in a circle taking a shot for somebody's birthday, and the birthday boy threw up, and then everyone else ran, that's so hilarious that you have to tell that story no matter what. No matter who's, how many times the other person's heard it.
I feel like that must be a problem, too, for people who date a lot, where it's like, you got to remember who, because I feel like I've got, like, 10 stories. I got, like, 10 solid stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know, and, like, you know, you got to keep in mind, like, who you tell them to, when you tell them.
But even, so there's, that's, so yes, when I'm talking about this situation with my dad, it was usually my stepmom going, oh, here's number 56. Because she's, right. Even if there's a group of 10 people, my dad... That outweighs that his wife will be listening again.
100%. Right. So just I'm on his side.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It outweighs everything.
Yeah, it's like if you're doing a show and someone's like, I'm your biggest fan, and they have a Chris Fairbanks shirt. Just let's just say that's happened to me.
I'm sure it's happened.
Sure it
not yet. But the rest of the audience doesn't have Chris Fairbanks shirts. It's not like I'm not going to do my shits and giggles and my Galleluya gaming.
Yes. How are you going to leave out the hits?
Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. That's right. Person. And people do love the hits. That's why they're hits.
No one at the Hollywood Bowl when I went to see Hall & Oates wanted to see him scat.
No!
But he did it in anyway.
Right.
Man eater.
Babies wild. Woo, woo, woo. I say woo, 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 woo.
He's the I'm king. I'm saying
that now to dippy doo, baba. What are you doing, dippy doo, baba? Baby wild, woo.
He is the king of, like, post-song riffing.
I swear that a couple times he almost made himself laugh. The best thing ever... And this is about Elvis, so April, edge of the seat. Stat.
I already know that you hate him, so go.
No, the one where it's later in his career and he's drunk on stage and I can't remember
when he starts laughing. He starts singing. Tonight.
He's like, are you lonesome? Hey, who was that? I don't know. Oh, I think it was my voice. I fucking can't remember the word.
Yeah.
And it's so great.
I have one where he laughs. It is Are You Lonesome Tonight? And it's like 10 minutes long because he just keeps laughing and keeps laughing. And then at the end, he just can't stop. And in the mic, he's like, I can't stop laughing, everybody. Like, he's just...
Yeah.
It makes me laugh. I've heard it 1,000 times and I can't listen to it without laughing.
I've always wanted... Henry Phillips and I talked about... Because it seems like he's having a good time, Elvis, in those situations.
Sure, he's fucking high as a kite.
He's high as a kite.
It's kind of both, because he didn't want to do them. Because there are times towards the end where the Colonel was just, like, propping him up on stage.
Oh,
and he's
wow.
like, dude, I don't want to do this.
The Colonel.
Oh, Colonel.
Oh,
but his chicken was so good that he couldn't argue. Yeah. He was like, you know what? You've got that secret recipe.
You know... I mean, I'm not trying to steer this down the Elvis nerd road, but, like, the Colonel was, like,
a ride on Elvis nerd road here.
He had, like, fled Denmark. He was a suspect for murder and stuff. Like, he was, like, a really bad dude.
What was the Colonel's last name?
Colonel Tom Parker's real name is, like, something, you know, like
Adolf Hitler?
Wow.
In books I've read, there are accounts of him, like, fleeing because he was a murder suspect and then coming to the States, and he was like a carnival guy.
Yes.
Oh, just had a chance meeting with Elvis just obviously changed everything.
And he was his tour manager or something?
He was his entire manager, and it was unprecedented. He got 50% of everything.
Oh
no.
Yeah.
You know what? I have to say, though, I bet those carnies know how to promote. I mean, that's what they do.
For sure. And so he did do that in the early days, but he also held him back from doing all this kind of stuff. And, like, when the Beatles came out, Elvis was like, I want to do music like that. Like, I want to do weirder music and, like, weirder movies and not just be this guy. And he was like, nope, sorry, you can't. And, like, because Elvis was just like, a guy who, he didn't know shit about legal, like, he just signed his life away and couldn't get out of it.
Terrible.
Yeah.
He still did okay, though, right?
Yeah, he did fine. Yeah. He did, in the end, he did fine, but wow, there were times in the end that he wanted to get way more adventurous and didn't want to do another movie where he's like, I'm a race car driver or whatever, and the
right,
guy, the colonel was like, fuck off, you have to do it anyway.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, no, thank you, colonel.
That's... Anyway.
You know what? Those Danish are all the same. Aren't they?
Those Danes.
Those goddamn Danes.
They're sweet, Tony's, but they're also flaky.
Oh, I just saw that giant Pepsi.
It's a Danish joke.
Sorry.
Sorry, no, you go.
No, I was calling out scenery, which is a dumb thing to do on a podcast.
Oh, no, that's all right.
I feel like people are used to it on this one. I like, every once in a while, I'll listen to an episode, and we all have a reaction to something that happens, and sometimes don't explain it. Those are my favorite.
Yeah.
Those are my very favorite, when you kind of let it slip by.
You and I are so used to it that usually the guest takes it upon themselves. if you aren't watching, which, of course, you can't be, a bike's just pulled in front of us.
Yeah.
That's why everyone screamed, fuck. Yeah. Wow, look at that guy's shirt.
He is serious.
For sure an assassin for hire.
Yep. Don't
describe what he looked like.
Yeah, he
trust
for
us.
Sure on his way.
Use
to
your imagination.
We just imagine him.
He just looked like an angry Russian hitman.
He did.
Or he was walking away from, like, his family's Easter that sucked.
Yeah.
It's just like, I never get the pie I want.
They always get low quality egg dye. My parents.
The dye seeps into
the off-brand?
Yeah.
Paws is the best. I love that company because do they make anything else?
Yeah, it's the only one. Yeah.
They can't.
They just shut their doors half the year or most of the year, like a Halloween store, and then open up when it's...
Right. And maybe they have zero competition. Name another egg dye besides Paws.
I mean...
Cadbury.
They don't have egg dye, do
they? They do. They dabble in dye.
Do you think, though, that that's a later...
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of the popularity of their cream egg.
Paws is the Sears Roebuck of egg dye.
Mm-hmm. It's just the establishment.
Yeah. Maybe they're in bed with the candy corn people that also are only relevant in the fall.
Right.
That would balance it out kind of nicely.
I think it'd be funny if they were in bed with Pez.
Ooh. Or firecrackers.
Yeah. Or if they're in bed with a severed horse head.
Or a sexy lady.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe it's a factory that's just, like, has sections, and one section does paws, and they shut that down, and the other section makes candy corn, and then they shut that down, and the other section makes, and they just, like, rotate.
That's a great business idea.
And then the other section makes caskets. And so if they don't, they're not related.
Yeah.
There's the one thing that's always necessary, and then there are the other things that are almost never necessary.
You think they make caskets, too? So they feed, pump everyone with sugar, they die of diabetes, then they put them in a sugar box.
That's right.
May the circle be unbroken.
Yes.
And then they wrap, right before they put the cask in the ground, they wrap a little piece of paper around the outside with, like, a fun Easter decoration.
Yeah, like an arrangement.
Yeah. Or like a, you know, sometimes you dye the egg and you stick it on that little... paper circle, so it doesn't touch the table.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess I was trying to make a joke like that, but it absolutely did not fit into the casket
area.
Well,
it's very visual.
It's visual and it's nonsensical.
Yes. Two of my favorite traits.
in a joke?
In a person. I like to see them, but I don't want them to make sense.
That's the best way.
And describes most of my relationships. Am I right, ladies?
Hello, gay
wanna
man.
Wanna see ya, don't wanna be ya.
That describes...
That doesn't...
That actually perfectly describes most relationships, I would hope. That you don't wanna be these women.
Yeah.
But you do wanna see them.
You cared very deeply
That's
for
very
them.
That's very romantic what you just said. Inadvertently romantic.
Oh, yeah.
You can't help
it. I wanna see ya, I don't wanna be ya.
I love you so much, honey, that I wish I was you. I want to wear your skin.
I want
skin.
To live inside
this
you.
This is a real question. Do you call your girlfriends honey?
Aww. Honey, I seem
a little
question, outdated.
I got sad once.
I go sweets. I go
sweets
or
cute.
Sweets.
Yeah, I never have had a pet name. I've never had a guy call me anything like that.
At all?
Never really. Aaron probably did, but not. I remember seeing a friend's boyfriend call her baby. And it was a thing where I distinctly remember previously, you know, when you've been like, oh, that's so lame, like, who would do that? And then at that moment being like, oh, no, actually, I'm really sad nobody's ever called
quickly,
me that.
Quickly turned to jealous rage.
Yeah, I mean, not rage, sadness, like, where I was like, oh, that's not lame. I want somebody to call me that.
No one calls me their hickory buddy cup. Hickory buddy cup? Oh, man.
I want to be somebody's buddy cop.
Yeah. I want to be a buddy cop movie.
I feel like...
You kind of are. You and Karen, buddy cop movie.
Book them, Karen.
We could do it for sure. No, I'm not doing that paperwork, goddammit.
Oh.
Is that a wild card.
That's me.
I'd like to see your badge on my desk.
I get to be the Mel Gibson.
Are we in La Crescenta?
No, friend. This is Burbank.
Old-timey Burbank.
This is like where the City Hall of Burbank is.
Is it okay if I really like Burbank and Glendale?
Yep. They're good.
They're like nice downtowns.
Yeah, they're
nice.
I like
Burbank because it's like a 50s movie set.
It is.
It's pretty good, and it's quiet. Yeah. It's not dirty, and it's quiet. God forbid.
I live in a very loud, dirty area. Venice Beach is very loud and dirty.
That's right. I feel like it's for the...
Dirty.
Is it dirty?
It's loud and dirty.
Do you get down and dirty?
Venice down and dirty. Talking about loud and dirty. More tolerant of it when I was 30. But
this is my favorite song.
Oh, thanks. And the best part is, we won't get sued because I'm making it up.
That's right.
Yeah.
I live in West Hollywood where it's Game In and Hallelujah.
Wait, what is that? What's that place?
Yeah. West Hollywood?
Bowardia?
No, that place that looks like the devil's office.
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it looks like office place.
I want to see it.
Yeah, let's go look.
Because I'm scared of the devil, and I want to know where he works.
Have you ever gone to Riffy's Market where they're just like, right when you go in, they're just making produce jokes? And
no.
They don't ever stop. It's nauseating.
What are you going to use the cart with the bad wheel? barf. Guys, what's the craziest Easter you've ever had?
Easter? My family didn't really... I guess when I was little, I would get some candy or a kite.
Mm-hmm.
I would usually get a kite.
It's like a little present.
Yeah, which is cool. But it usually meant
candy for sure.
Yeah, I guess I never had a candy tooth.
We've been over this. You always lecture me on my one vice.
I know that they're
15.
Yeah.
But I always got candy, hella candy for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I was a kid, obviously we would do like Easter egg hunts, but. My parents are super religious, so we would always go to church. I mean, I talked to my mom today, and she was like, did you go to church? And I was like, no.
That's what Daniel said yesterday. His mom said, promise me you'll go to church. And he said, I can't, but I promise you I'll pray before I eat. And I was like, man, these are adults still having...
Well, because Easter's even bigger than Christmas in that way.
This is
kind of the key. It's the key event.
I know
the
something...
Key event. Some,
it's what started
this
it all.
This is what made him.
It really
this is. What
is,
started yeah. it
this
all.
Was his, this was his blue Hawaii.
Yeah.
This is his raging bull. I only repeated the same because I don't know what blue Hawaii. It's a song.
That's all. You were just, it was a punch up. I liked it.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Something outrageous has probably happened in my family on Easter because it's when we would go to my grandparents' house and everyone would drink, and I'm sure that one of the memories I have of my grandpa coming out with a baseball bat and my uncle, like, there was almost horrible fights and my dad would break it up.
For sure.
I think that they would, at least during a holiday, I think it's more Thanksgiving that would scarier things would happen. But
yeah, that was every...
I'm not trying to impress some. I had a good childhood.
No, every family gathering for mine, too, everybody got drunk.
We went by the devil's office again.
And it's, doesn't it look like that?
It's kind of a shiny Budweiser font.
But yeah. It's a black building with dark red panels.
And just a giant phone number. That ends in 666.
Definitely. What about Karen? You must have had, you're Irish Catholic. You must have had insane Easters.
Yes. Well, as we were trying to answer this question, I realized it was a very bad, just a dumb question that was very leading. Because I don't have any of those. But I think it was because Easter, usually at our house, like my parents would make gin fizzes. And it would start early enough in the day that it wouldn't get crazy because people would leave by like 5 o'clock.
Sure.
Like, you know, you'd have, it was all a very morning, afternoon kind of event.
Yeah.
But I did have, what I liked was I was the youngest of all the kids. My sister was older and then my cousins were way older. And so they would come over and then my Uncle Steve, I would just follow him around and he would point, like during the Easter egg hunt, he would point out where all the Easter eggs were real subtle so that I would get them all.
That's
and
rad.
And because and there's a picture of it, it's so funny, there's a picture of it where he's standing there with like a Manhattan in one hand and like a big long cigarette and he's just, his hand is out like that and I'm over picking up the egg
on camera. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so great.
It's my favorite.
He just totally was the ringer, like gave you all the answers to the Easter egg hunt, cut
like way out ahead of, and it was his own children.
I love it.
His own children were the other people in the Easter egg hunt, but he was helping me cheat.
Yeah, I think my earliest, because of a photo that was always laying around my whole life, my earliest memory was hating Easter egg hunts. Like, even when I was very young and we were still in California, we went to, like, a park, and it was, like, a city-sanctioned Easter egg hunt, and kids were freaking out and all competitive, and I just, there's just a picture of me staring at the camera, like, with a very unhappy look on my face with an empty basket and just blurry kids behind me going, shit house.
Yeah.
I did not. I'm like, that's how competitive I've always been.
Right.
That's how, you know, antisocial I've always been.
Yeah. Well,
it's
also,
it's funny.
That feeling of, like, watching everyone kick into high gear, I also have that reaction and have since I was a kid of, like, go ahead.
Yeah, me too.
Go
That's
ahead.
Why I for sure am like 0% competitive. Not to mention, I'm an only kid, so there was no sort of rival. I didn't have a brother or sister to be like, we'll be more like him or whatever.
Yeah, that is a
So
thing.
I have zero competitive drive, and that also was why I was never on any teams or anything in any clubs or anything in high school, because I was like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
Bare minimum all day long. That's my shit.
Yeah.
And my mom, oh, she was so frustrated because she was the opposite, obviously, in every way, and was on all these teams and was, you know, basketball champion. And, like, she would always just be like, do you anything? She made me do a couple of things. She wasn't, like, a pageant mom, but, like, there was a couple of things she kind of made me do. And then in the course of doing them would be like, oh, if she was ever like, you're not going to win, I was just like, okay. Like, I never cared.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't. She was like, you're not going to get that trophy, though. I'm like, yeah, okay.
That's,
cool. I don't care.
There's no room on my shelf anyway. That's so
but
funny. Yeah.
It's good and bad, though, because I think you do need a certain. I mean, now as an adult,
yeah,
it's the same.
On my career, if I was a little more competitive as a kid, I wonder if right now I'd
exactly.
be like trying to climb myself to the top of this comedy contest.
No, truly, exactly, where it's like, and it, a little bit of that is healthy.
Yeah.
I think blind competitive drive where you're like, I don't give a fuck who I fuck over to get to the top is
yeah.
like terrible and monstrous, but
that,
having
which is,
0% of it is also not good.
I know.
It's amazing, though, if I think of all the comics that I was friends with, kind of, or interacted with, that are huge now, they kind of have...
Yeah.
A lot of them have that in common.
Absolutely.
Right. Get the fuck out of my way.
I think here's the problem.
I wish I was a little more that way.
Me too.
I would like to say, for as a person who got to observe without being there personally, but got to observe what the other side of that was, I'm so glad I didn't have that, because actual fame is horrifying.
Right.
It's a bizarre, horrifying prison that no one understands, so everybody thinks they want it until you have it. And
right.
I understand, of course, I'm not saying I don't like money or like not being worried about stuff.
Right.
But the actual fame part is really weird. It's really fucking
weird. And some of those same people I'm thinking of, you know, they'll have that fame and then look around and the people that they pissed off who would have been their friends aren't there.
Right.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah. Oh, and I don't have any real friends because
yeah.
I was stepping on everybody.
Yeah.
I agree. I fully agree with both of you.
I'm also just thinking about characters in movies and stuff right now.
But I wonder what the healthy balance is, though, because I remember as a kid also, you know, knowing kids who, like, had all the trophies and won everything, and it was never enough, where I'm like, you have, like, 19 trophies. How come that's not enough for you? Why do
yeah.
you need to also get this 20th one? So it's like, I wonder what the balance is of, going, I win just enough. I'm just competitive enough that I'm okay and not a crazy dick.
It sounds like you grew up with Goldfinger. More trophies, melt them down.
Yeah.
I mean, I just was so lazy that, again, I just wish I had 5% of that instead of 0%.
Well, I also learned very early that there was a much bigger payoff not in doing things on time and, like, correctly, but in not doing them until the last minute and somehow, quote-unquote, pulling it off.
Yeah.
And I got addicted to that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And my sister actually...
Is procrastinating part of your winning formula?
Hugely.
Me too.
Which is also...
fully.
That's just justifying laziness.
Yeah,
and
me
I
too.
Know it's definitely a bad habit, but
me
I
too.
Really do get a huge...
Yeah.
It's... You know what I mean? It's that thing of when you don't... When you have a couple jokes... in your back pocket, but you go on stage and you basically see what's going to happen.
Yes.
Now, when that doesn't work, it is just, it destroys me for a long time. But when it works, it's the greatest feeling.
Right.
It's better than anything.
Yeah,
I agree fully.
So it's...
because that's its own kind of weird creativity in a way,
yeah.
too, because you're kind of... one. That, it's so funny that you say that, because one of the greatest moments of my life, I'll never forget this feeling, in 11th grade, I got a B on a book report for a book I'd never read. I didn't even open it. I didn't get the Cliff Notes, whatever. I just,
so you're
looked
cheating,
at the back.
But you were proud.
But I didn't cheat. I didn't cheat off anything.
You just riffed it.
Yes.
Oh, right, right,
I just
right.
looked at the book, read the back, and was like, I think I know what this is about. Wrote an entire book report and got a B on it.
That's
and
so
And I swear
great.
To God, from that day, I was like, oh, I'm going to be okay.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is... it's like, here, it's the best feeling in the world, even though it is an excuse. You're making an excuse for not doing your work.
Yeah.
The problem, I mean, the problem and the brilliance of that is, because that's exactly, I never did anything in high school, anything
Me
ever.
Me neither.
And was a beast average student, because I figured out, I learned about the teachers, and I manipulated teachers or the situation of what the, like, I knew certain teachers at our school were pronounced alcoholics. So, like, you knew for a fact you could write blah, blah, blah on the page. And there were certain teachers that would always give me a B because I behaved well in class and
right.
I didn't, like, make problems for them. It was,
right.
like, stuff like that where I just started learning it's about the system. It is not about going through the paces correctly.
That's
right.
funny. I almost did the opposite in high school. I remember I failed a Spanish class that I was working very hard, my hardest in. I really was trying to do well.
Right.
But she was giving me little marks on my attendance sheet, which were an F for the day because I was making people laugh and
That's...
being not well behaved.
Yeah.
That's so funny because...
shit hit the fan. We went. My dad went to school. We got me out of that class. We got me in another one. My parents had my back.
That's funny because I'm like the combination of the two, where I constantly talked in class, was a classic class clown, yelled out all the time, jokes. But I made the teachers laugh so they like wouldn't be mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
It was the sort of thing where they'd be like, "Aw, April, you rascal," like that kind of thing. Where
I wish I went to that school.
But I failed everything. Like I got terrible grades. They didn't make up for it in grades, but it's like I never got in trouble.
Okay, yeah, no, then that is kind of how mine was. I got punished. I would make teachers laugh, and then they go, "Oh, Chris, oh, that was a good one." And then they write my name on the board, and then I knew I just had to stay after a half hour.
See,
yeah.
I didn't. That's funny. I never got that.
65 detentions my 8th grade.
That's
oh.
See, that's
65.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
is
a
I
lot.
Never
for making jokes.
That's
like,
crazy.
Have you guys heard of Johnny Crash? Johnny Crash. Never mind. It doesn't. I'm not going to repeat some of my jokes.
But see, I didn't.
Because I've never heard of Johnny Crash.
Okay, he asked the class if anyone had heard of Johnny Cash, and I said no, but I'm a big fan of Eddie Money, and he laughed and. I was a kid, and
that's
made,
a great joke.
Yeah,
then,
it is.
And then he gave me a detention. It was added. That was the one that made me have to clean the bathrooms with Mike Allred, a kid who used to pull a knife out
that's
at the mall.
Crazy.
And why, you know, I got treated like a criminal.
See,
well,
no, I didn't get social. Like we didn't. Yeah, I never got detention or whatever. They'd cut me slack on that, but it would be the sort of thing where they'd laugh and go, "Ah, April, you're funny," and then write an F on my test. They
right.
were going to make up for it in the other way. They were like, "Good job on your jokes, but you still didn't study, so F."
Yeah. Well, man.
Guys.
It's probably normal.
Yeah, I was the one sitting in the back rubbing my hands together, not saying anything, going, "I'm going to work all you people to the bone." The only time is I knew I would say stuff in class out loud if I knew the teacher wouldn't get mad.
Right.
So I was adopting my, I was adapting my personality, I should say. I didn't adopt anything. I adapted my personality, but at the same time, I was like learning this weird like invisibility mode. And then I started, I went to a Catholic high school that had a dress code, and I started wearing shorts to school, and nobody, I never got in trouble. I started realizing I was one of those people nobody was really paying attention to, so I could kind of get away with stuff.
Right.
Because I was like slightly invisible.
What was everyone else forced to wear?
You had to wear like a collared shirt. You weren't allowed to wear jeans. You could not wear shorts. I was not, like, it was all those kinds of things where I was like, oh, I'm not, I somehow have like slipped underneath the radar where teachers aren't paying attention to me. One, I'm not good and I'm not bad.
Right.
And so I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want. And the more I did it, the like bigger, like the greater victory feeling I would get. So like there was for Spirit Week, there was one day where that was like, come as your hero. And I went wearing shorts. And I was, when people asked me, I was like, I'm myself. Because I do whatever the fuck I want at this school.
That's beautiful.
And that, by that time, I was a senior and nobody even like knew I had been doing it. I know, it was crazy.
Funny.
Pretty fun.
See, I was,
I'm myself.
Like,
the one that wears shorts and you never notice? Yeah, I'm pulling some
shit
off.
That's hero shit for sure.
Everybody fuck off.
That's
See, I was kind of like that, but just loud about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just was like, yeah, I do whatever I want, but loudly, and if I get in trouble, who cares kind of thing. Like, it was so dumb. But I knew, but I was...
I had a loud friend who did a thing where I would say a joke under my breath, and she'd say it out loud, and then she would get in trouble. No, she would get in trouble.
Oh.
Oh, that's great.
And that was the... It was that, like, I would learn that lesson of, like, she couldn't not yell. And then I was like, oh, all you have to do is be able to not... like have outbursts, and you can get away with anything.
I was
little
your
self-control
loud friend.
Yeah, I had no self-control
me
either.
Neither.
But the funny thing is they're trying to break kids of self-control, or you know, teach self-control, but really what they're doing is breaking your creativity.
Yeah.
Or breaking your like confidence. It's a good thing that kids are confident enough to be like, here's my brilliant fucking Johnny Cash joke.
Yeah.
I refuse to be quiet for sure.
I was shy. I actually miss shy. It seems like every kid is really riddled with confidence.
It's so true.
I'm like,
they're all special these days.
Every other kid when I was in is quiet and shy and said funny things every once in a while, but now everyone's like, look at me sing, look at me dance.
Yeah, what is this song? I gotta know what the song
okay.
is.
Sounds Christian.
Hold on.
It's totally Christian.
It is Christian.
Here's the thing, you guys, listeners. This person next to us at a light looks like, it looks like a punk rock dude.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a girl, and she's listening to I Believe Christian.
I believe.
It's
maybe
like
she just
Christian
came.
Christian ballad,
you know,
but if you pulled up next to her.
It's Easter. Yeah, she's like
she looked like a punk rock. I thought it was a dude. I mean, I'm just saying, it was like this punk rock looking, wearing like
a satin kind of dope jacket.
Yeah.
Maybe she was street Christian. You know, that new trend
like
of Christianity.
Cool Christian.
Right, yeah. Have you heard about God? And then they start breakdancing.
He rules. Yeah, exactly.
I do drugs for Jesus.
He shreds my heart. Anyway, how did we start talking about high school?
I don't know. Just being outbursts?
Procrastinating?
What about college?
I actually worked my ass off in college.
Yeah.
Because I didn't go to college until I was 23, so it was the sort of thing where I was, like, ready to be there and ready to get it done. And
wow,
that's
you
how they do it in Europe.
I was done when you were
for a while I didn't want to go. Well, I lived in England for a bit, and I was, like, didn't think I was going to go. I just remember when I graduated from high school, I told my mom, I was like, if you make me go to college right now, 100% guarantee I'll fail out. I don't want to do any more school shit. Just let me chill or whatever. And then, yeah, I went to England and lived with my friend for a bit. And then my mom kind of, after a couple years, she just called and was like, well, you need to come get your shit out of my house. Like, you need to move out of my house. You're an adult now.
Right.
And so come back here and go to college and move out. And I was like, okay. And so
wow.
I did.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it was real Southern tough love. It was like, get your shit out of my house, you're grown.
But I mean, like, not going to college right out of high school is smart.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what the fuck you're doing right out of
high
school.
And then by the time I went, I was into it. Well, and of course, in college, you get to choose what you're learning. So it's like, I obviously chose things I was interested in and actually did the work and wrote papers and kind of weirdly enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. Part of me wishes right after high school I just started doing art for a living, because I was trying to do it, but I couldn't get work done because I had to go to school.
Right.
and I would have started doing stand-up earlier, I think. I guess I wouldn't be able to have conversations with certain people. There's a certain amount of confidence you get from going to college, I guess.
Right.
That's the biggest thing I got from it, but I would not recommend it to everyone.
I agree with you fully.
Honest. Especially if you're going to be an art major and you already are getting work doing art stuff.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
It's like, wait, I've never shown my diploma or whatever you call it, the thing I have in a frame.
Of course. Well, because you're talented. Never shown it to anyone. It's not like anybody's going to see your drawing and then be like, well, first of all, I need to see your diploma.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's part of that thing, like, you know, that trend that's changing where college is so expensive and ultimately there are so few jobs that really require it in that,
right.
Or maybe not so few, I shouldn't say that, because I'm just thinking of the way we live.
I'm talking,
if you want to work in
lawyer,
TV, if you want to work in the arts professionally, nobody gives one shit what school you went
go
to.
Go do it.
You come do it, you come be a PA and lift a bunch of waters.
We're preaching to any confused 17 or 18-year-olds out there that listen to our podcast.
That's right.
It's we're a bunch of like 32-year-olds at their job going, fuck you, I went to college and I still have student loans. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go eat it.
But listen, Jimmy and Susie out there.
Yes.
I'm in between surgeries right now, lowering myself to listen to your podcast. And you're saying I could be doing this without any school. Okay. Okay, self-taught geniuses.
Self-taught doctors.
I don't know if you guys heard me when I said I got a B on a book report in 11th grade. So
go ahead and do your little surgery or whatever, but I didn't read Catcher in the whatever.
I never read Silas Marner.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what book it was now, to tell you the truth.
How long do we have?
Oh, we could use another 10 or so.
Okay. I love it. What'd you say, April? Sorry.
Oh, nothing. Just how smart I am for scamming everybody in high school.
Oh, nothing.
Were you guys... I was angry in high school. Were you guys angry?
Not at all.
Okay,
I was
pretty
angry. I'm one of those weirdos that loved high school.
I was pretty angry.
I
didn't like it.
Yeah,
I
was...
I liked college, though.
I was disillusioned. I don't think I was allowed to be angry. And I was drunk. So I probably was angry, but I was drunk.
In high school?
Yeah, I started drinking when I was, like, 15.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't until college.
Oh, yeah, I did ASAP.
You know what my dad said he found? And we've covered high school. We've covered college. I'm going to go all the way back.
We've got to get to our hot topics.
Elementary school. A lot of people college. I can't remember. Whatever. What do you call elementary school?
Grade school.
Grade school. Thanks.
Or grammar school.
Grammar school. Thank you. Kindergarten through fifth grade, I did not miss one day of school. Do you guys believe that?
Oh, I do believe you.
Not one day.
Wow. Did you get a certificate for that?
You never got sick?
I never got sick. I never missed a day of school. My dad said...
Was that the first and only time
I got
a
certificate?
I'm not going to miss anything.
No, I just was scared that I would... every day I woke up like, don't fuck up life.
Oh, yeah.
And then now, look at me. Sleeping until noon, don't give a shit.
Yay!
Punk rock Jesus music!
Punk rock Jesus! Hey, were you in, like, the local paper for that?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, there is I was in the paper a lot.
I
used to read to elderly people. There's a picture of that.
Did you sort of clipping live in or something?
For real?
I was in the paper for walking with a young Vietnamese girl. She was my little friend in Missoula back in those days. No one was walking her to school. I was, did not see color.
Are you being serious?
Sorry,
I'm
what?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
I'm actually...
What?
I'm describing two different newspaper clippings.
Oh.
Me with a tiny exchange student girl who was my friend.
Huh.
And an old lady, you know.
Nice.
Covering the whole spectrum.
I think I was in the paper once for... Once when I was two, because my sister and I were eating corn dogs at the fair... And we were sitting on the curb eating corn dogs. I was two and Laura was four.
That's
I was
a
wearing...
perfect newspaper photo.
My dad still has it in this thing that when everyone was at our house for my mom's funeral, one of my aunts goes, oh, yeah, we all made those one day. It's been on the wall at my parents' house my whole life. And it's the thing you don't even look at. It has, like, it's a wooden box with the picture of me and my sister cut out of the newspaper. And then, like, little sections of the box have, like, one part has macaroni, one part has just corn, like kernels of corn. One part has wheat. Yeah, it's all like sections. It's very 70s.
Right.
There's like stalks of wheat inside of it. And I just always thought, oh, my mom made that or something. And then my aunt was like, we all came over one day and we all made these. They're called memory boxes and this crazy shit.
Memory boxes.
Yeah. So
like, I remember that corn. Why would you put corn in it?
It's just because in the 70s, people loved corn and wheat.
Yeah. And it was an ambiance thing. It's a 3D picture frame. Might as well put some knickknacks in there.
That's exactly right.
I guess, okay. Because I get the macaroni thing. Because I remember making like necklaces and shit for my mom out of macaroni when I was a little kid. But
maybe
corn, I never.
My mom probably wasn't good at arts and crafts. So she's like, throw some old popcorn in there.
Right. I never thought of the decorative properties of corn.
Yeah. It's pretty gorgeous when you see it. It's breathtaking.
I've been wanting to make so many poop jokes. You guys have just been riding that poop line, talking about corn and macaroni and shit. You said, I never made shit with corn or macaroni. I'm like, hold back, Fairbanks. It's not funny. You're a grown-up.
Yes, it is funny. Do it. Unleash it.
Unleash it and definitely call it macaroni when you do.
Macaroni! That's great.
Why are you trying to be mature right now?
You
already said the hallelujah.
Yeah, that's how we started.
Yeah.
April, I've grown a lot during this trip. Yes. Karen, do you mind slowing down closer to the speed limit,
please?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
There we go. I just want everyone to be safe. Now we have at least 12 more minutes of recording.
The audience can't see that you've pulled out a monocle.
Yes.
A nightcap.
And yes. Which is just whiskey I have before bed. I pour it on my head. Parachute is an online bedding brand based in Venice Beach, California. Great sleep starts with your sheets, and Parachute has created a line of everyday bedding essentials from sheets to comforters to give you superior sleep. Parachute's website is straightforward and easy to use. Simply select the bedding items you want, your preferred fabric and color, and then get them delivered directly to your front door. It's easy. With free shipping, free returns, and a 30-night risk-free guarantee, they take your comfort seriously so you can rest easily. Parachute also gives safe sleep. They partnered with the United Nations Nothing But Nets to deliver life-saving malaria prevention bed nets to those in need. So shop online at parachute.com/ride and receive $25 off your first order by using the promo code RIDE. So that's $25 at checkout to start sleeping better today.
Oh, there's the Starbucks drive-thru. Does anybody need one?
Let's drive through. I guess it's a little late.
Okay.
I don't want to stay up all night.
It's tempting, but
I honestly feel like I'm still feeling the effects of the coffee we had at our coffee breakfast this morning.
Yeah, we had like 9 coffees.
Because the waitress was, God bless her, it was kind of slammed because it was Easter morning breakfast.
It was our first bad waitress experience at Swingers, I gotta say.
Yeah.
The first one.
Well, I think she just didn't. Usually good waitresses just, like, have it all kind of covered.
Right.
Make you feel like they're watching you the whole time.
Yeah.
And she clearly was just, like, had 10 tables and wasn't holding it together. So I started getting almost vengeful about the coffee, where it's like, more coffee.
Yeah, on principle.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. But then you're drinking.
So you guys, when was that? You guys hung out all day? What did you do all day?
All day.
Then we went to see the movie Hello, My Name is Doris.
You did?
Yes.
What the hell is that movie? You made that movie up.
Did not, girl.
It's the... Hello, I didn't like it.
My Name is
Doris.
Can we
do movie reviews on this podcast?
Yeah, should we?
Yeah, it's the movie where Sally Field is like hits on a... works with a younger dude. She's supposed to be, I guess, like 60.
Uh-huh.
And works with a bunch of 30-year-olds.
Sure.
I thought it would be good for... April and I, as single women in Los Angeles, to learn how a 6-year-old would hit on a 25-year-old.
Yeah, it was a real glimpse into my future, to be real with you.
You ladies need another Thelma and Louise.
We do.
I was like, yeah, how do you become a cougar?
Yeah, but do you bag a cowboy Brad Pitt in his first... I'm still talking about Thelma and Louise.
There were a few scenes for sure where I was like, this could be me.
Yeah.
But for the most part, she was just an older manic pixie... lady.
Yeah.
She was annoying as
shit. It was not a real personality. Like, it was that of course, Sally Field's amazing and genius, but she was playing this character for comedy where you're all, at one point, April leaned over and goes, like, is she supposed to be retarded?
Yeah, and I like, wasn't being funny. I was like, really? Is she supposed to be, like, mentally challenged?
Yeah.
Because
I was picturing her, she was, I think, supposed to be around, like, my mom's age, where I'm like, but she acted like an 8-year-old and dressed like an 8-year-old, and I'm like, what? Like, there's
weird.
No, it was weird. I mean, she did have, I don't want to give too much of the movie away, I guess, if you want to see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it people was...
A bunch of listeners have pulled muscles leaping out of their chairs.
But Karen made a good point, though, because in the movie, she does have a best friend who's, like, kind of this, like, tough-talking broad.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the movie tropes that I take it so personally when I see these movies, because it's always, like... The lady who's a quirky weirdo who talks like a little kid is attractive to everybody in the way that, like, men and women alike want to hang out with her. But then any, like, straight-shooting, ball-busting lady, it's like, oh, what a pain in the ass. And I identify with that. Like, I'm like, oh, so I'm unattractive to hang out with because I'm not this, like, weird quirk monster who's, like, wearing, like, clown suits and talking like an 8-year-old.
You are quirky. You do wear literal clown suits. What are you talking about?
No, I don't. It's not.
You are a quirk monster.
You're a quirky clown monster. Don't say you aren't, you wacky weirdo.
I think that... Whatever, I might wear weird clothes. I'm just saying, I feel like I'm pretty direct in the way I talk, and I'm not, like, this giggly, like, socially inept, overgrown
sometimes,
child.
Yes. Sometimes in talking, you realize it's been a directive with the show we host to write for, like, a teenage skater dude. And that's part of
Listen,
your voice.
Chris,
so that,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, but yes, you are direct. Like right now, you're yelling at me.
But
you also sound
like... When I speak to you, I look you in the eyes.
Right.
I don't fidget. I don't look at my feet. I don't act like an 8-year-old who's never talked to an adult. Like, you don't
Sometimes
understand.
You rock back and forth.
I hate your guts. You know exactly what I'm saying.
Well,
I
and also, it's you know what it is? It's this thing of... They're bending over backwards to show an older woman who is, like, alienated and, like, doesn't fit in, as if to do that in this day and age, you would have to be, like, this goofy lunatic that repeats everything she says, and like Vera from Alice, as opposed to the fact that simply being not 32 and still a woman is plenty to keep you, just to completely, like, make you invisible. So, like, that part, for me, it's just this unrealistic thing where it's like, guys, you don't have to go that far.
Right.
All you have to do is put her in the workplace and have her be a normal person.
Yes.
And
she
this would be good.
Feel like an alien.
That's what you were saying, too. Yeah, I see. Yeah, they had to make her, like, a ridiculous person. No, you could make her totally nice and normal, and it's still a problem.
And it's just that, but it was good. Strangely enough, for me, normally that character would make me go, fuck this movie, fuck everything, you know, stand up, throw my popcorn up, poke an old lady in the eye, and leave.
I've seen you do that.
Instead... This, I thought it was really well written otherwise, and very believable, because it was about how millennials are kind of treat others like either you're a cool millennial or you're just like this interesting fascination. Like, it's that weird thing where millennial niceness that's super fake, where it's like you don't love everybody and everybody isn't interesting. And you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing where that insincerity does affect people of different generations, because you're like, oh, of course you don't like me. I'm just like...
This curiosity.
Like something you found at a thrift store.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it wasn't I don't mean to say it was a terrible movie. It was not a terrible movie. It just, whenever I see a character like that, I take it personally and it makes me instantly go, what? But then also, just like Karen said, it's like, she was already a fish out of water being a 60-year-old woman hanging out with 30-year-olds. You don't need to pile all that stuff on top of it.
Yeah.
How is she? I haven't seen Sally Field in a long time, I would imagine.
She was great.
She was
not
great.
Being in a movie for a long time. I don't know.
She was great.
I just think of her, the last time I saw her was like Miss Doubtfire or something. I guess I haven't been following her.
I think she's been doing a couple things, but... Yeah. I thought she was good. It was almost just like...
I liked her in Smokey and the Bandit.
No, that's what it was. It was like, you could see... That's the other thing is, a woman who is a petite, beautiful woman, who even when she's wearing quote-unquote kooky clothes, she still looks great.
I guess that's kind of what I was asking, but then I didn't want to be like a... dude.
She was.
Is she still fucking hot?
She's probably almost 70.
Wow, right. Yeah. And she still looked hot.
She looks great. Yeah, she had like, yeah.
Well, good for her. I hope in real life she's bagging plenty of 30-somethings.
Riding plenty of 30-year-old dick.
Riding plenty.
I hope for Sally Field that she sucks so many dicks tonight.
I hope that Sally Field is searching for her identity in a pool of dicks.
Pool of dicks. Like a ball pit at Showbiz. filled with dicks.
I think she can do it.
Chuck E. Cheese is what everybody knows it as.
Yeah.
That's showing my age.
I thought you meant just show business.
No, Showbiz Pizza where a kid could be a kid.
Oh, yeah. We had that.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Where a kid could be.
I'm showing that I'm a quirky 60-year-old by calling it Showbiz.
Yeah.
My favorite place when I was a kid, it was called Little Big Man Pizza.
What?
I don't know. That's the name. Little Big Man Pizza.
That just sounds like Molester Central.
Yeah, it does. But you go inside and it was like all 20s themed and they just played.
1920s.
Yeah, like, hey, Little Big Man here. It's like more like it was a gangster's name.
And
everything's pinstriped and they played Three Stooges on a giant big screen TV.
Yeah.
And then they had little rides for kids like where you put in a quarter. And it
this is
just
the craziest
goes,
thing I've
it
ever
was
heard.
It was the coolest place ever in retrospect. I forgot about it till now.
That's so funny.
Man. Yeah, and it was great pizza. And then you just watch The Stooges, which is the strangest. They just, every episode is them with a different job. It's just such a weird show.
They played the Three Stooges, Laurel and Hardy, and then Tom and Jerry cartoons at our pizza place. And I remember it seemed like the only beverage of offered was either root beer or orange drink. That's all anybody ever had.
Isn't that funny?
It seemed like.
That's all we had. That's, Showbiz. I mean, yeah. We had Showbiz in my hood. I grew up in the South. I think it stayed Showbiz well after the rest of the country turned into Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
And then that was like where everybody had their birthday parties.
I think ours was a Shakey's or a Round Table. Did you guys have that?
Oh, yeah. Round Table. Sure.
Yeah.
We didn't have either of those. I just remember
that's
seeing
it. It's more medieval themed, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes. I love themes.
It's like kids, it's so clear back then when they were theming restaurants out, nobody gave one fuck about kids. Because right. It's like, how about a medieval theme to bring all like, the kids together?
Brooks Whelan, we saw him the other night. He was on a show with Karen and he told the most brilliant joke that I related to so much. Because when I got older, the birthdays switched to Red Lobster where I'm from. And that was because I was older and I was ready for like fancy shit.
Does he talk about like... He told being scared to wear shorts at Red Lobster.
And
like,
it was so genius where he was like, that's how I knew I grew up poor, because I was hanging out with friends in New York who wanted to go to Red Lobster as a joke, like ironically go to Red Lobster. And he was like, you guys, we can't. I'm wearing shorts. And I laughed so hard. And he's like, what? And I can't tell you how much I identified with that, because as a kid, you know, once I turned, you know, whatever, 10, 11, 12, where you get older and my mom's like, you ready to go to like grown-up fancy restaurants for your birthday? It was always Red Lobster.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was
funny.
The height of fanciness.
That's great.
Well, I think I went there for not only birthdays, but like, you know, like 8th grade graduation or whatever, where it's like, you're kind of grown now.
Red Lobster.
My parents didn't let us go. I one time tried to get my mom to let us go to Lyons, which was like a slightly nicer Denny's, and she's like, we're not going there. They were either like mom and pop restaurant or we go home. Like, we never got to go to chains.
When we did, it was like the specialist of occasions. I mean, Red Lobster was like money time.
That's when you got your paycheck.
I remember. Yeah. I've been defending Sizzler. Because I remember eating there as a kid thinking, wow, this is everything I need. But yes. I was eating tacos and meatball pudding.
Yes.
Or whatever. The pudding's always everywhere. And we went there recently when I had a job. Everyone jokingly was like, let's go to Sizzler. And I'm like, all right, great. And it was bad.
It's so gross.
I was like sick all day. It made me sick.
Right.
The chicken has like the charboil burns in it.
Yeah, they do. They
like
stamp
the paint
it.
That they paint on.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's a total stamp with like pieces of black charcoal.
Wouldn't it be amazing though if they put more effort into it than actually? Because how hard is it to actually go to a grill and go? Tss, tss? But right. There's a guy with a monocle just painting a perfect edible brown stripe. That'd be the best.
It's very strange. Well, and also they have hot nacho cheese at the salad bar, which I think is hilarious, but also I do love and appreciate.
That is one of my, no matter what my diet is, or if someone has squeezed cheese and no one's looking at me, I'm going to coil some of that tube right in my
I'm like fake cheese all day. There are circumstances where I prefer fake cheese to real cheese. Did you guys have Ryan's?
No.
In the South, there's a place called Ryan's Steakhouse, and it was, I guess, our equivalent of... it was a buffet place. Mm-hmm. It was a buffet place, but the weird thing is, so it always had the buffet popping at any time you could get that, but it also served regular entrees. Like the way you walked in and there was a line and you would go, you know, to order either the buffet or entrees. Cause I always remember people.
That's Sizzler. That's like Sizzler.
Yeah. But it was always, that was the weirdest shit to me. As a kid, I wanted to go up to the adults ordering the entrees and be like, what are you doing? You can get that times a thousand
right.
in the buffet,
no,
you
but,
dummy.
And now I understand. It's like, I don't want to give myself access to that because I'm a monster with no restraint.
Well, I'm not going to think this is funny at all. But so Ryan's, we also went to a lot because it was really cheap and it was like super white trash. So poor white trash, like me and my family went there. But they had a sign to entice you to come in because they had a carving station. And the sign outside said... 3 meats nightly. Like me and Millie, my best friend since high school, that always.
Did you want to steal that sign?
Yes, it never not made us laugh just to see those three words.
Hang it above your bed next
three
to
three meats nightly
next to Guy Fieri ate here.
I mean, it'd
be funny if that was.
Tell
above
me that
your
doesn't
bed.
Sound like a '70s band or like an album yep. from like. Bread, or yes. something. 3 meats nightly.
It was going to Three Dog Night originally. It was going to be called 3 meats nightly.
There was a place in Petaluma called the Green Mill that's closed now. That was a buffet, mm-hmm. and it was all I can remember from it was like that. Basically, they offered like a big tub of cottage cheese and cling peaches. And
yes.
then like
for the salad part?
Yeah. Everything was just the grossest where you're just like, you're giving me the choice of everything gross in my grandma's refrigerator, essentially. Yeah. Thanks.
Ryan's had an ice cream bar though that I would go hard on.
They would, I guess because of the kind of containers or the level of coolness or whatever along the sneeze guard or along the, you know, buffet thing, they always have the pudding. Right by the dressings.
Yes.
Yeah. And there'd be chocolate pudding, a tiny circular trough.
String of it.
With just X's of yes. ranch being ladled across it. Yes. So it's like, ooh, is that pudding with vanilla? No. And then I get some and it's just as, oh, that's so disgusting.
That was vivid description. You just put me there. That's a perfect description.
I miss my grandparents now. Yeah. What a weird feeling this is.
We should definitely go to a buffet sometime.
God, I want
to
go right now.
There was a place called J.J. North's Grand Buffet in Sacramento that was just a building with no windows. And it was basically like a slice of Las Vegas in the middle
like a
of
food
Sacramento.
Casino.
It exactly was. Where it's like you'd go in there and the buffet was as long as the restaurant itself.
What is wrong with
Let's go to a buffet right
I
now.
I was in Las Vegas all weekend. I had $100. Daily per diem that I could have had, and I sat in my room. I didn't walk around. I had work. I had art to
do. Oh, so you just pocketed it?
And I had put it off to the last minute, and I finished it in one day, and I'm really proud of it because I put it off, and I still did it. I'll show it to you. I'm happy with it. It's for a friend. But
I can't believe you didn't take that per diem straight to a buffet.
I ordered some stuff to my room, but I only spent like $25 or something. I should have. Yeah, I could have bought a Fabergé egg and blown it all at once. I didn't go around. I did gamble, and it was fun. And I lost my money, but
it is fun.
At $50, it turned into $270. I got all excited. I got peer pressured by Daniel to keep playing, and I did, and I lost it, whatever. But at the end, I was like, that was $50 of fun.
Yeah.
It lasted all night.
I agree.
It's totally worth it.
I had a good time. I'm not anti-Vegas anymore.
I'm not either. Because like I told you, I have to go visit my parents there all the time, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, it was fun. I hope I get to go back. Well, I guess I was kind of bragging about how I worked in Vegas this weekend. Do you guys have anything you want plugged coming up?
No. I'm at the Improv Lab. No. I'm at Flappers on Tuesday. I actually have a couple gigs coming up that I'm actually going to actually plug.
Flappers me and Karen are starting a show.
Flappers is kind of themed like Little Big Men Pizza, right?
Yes, yeah. It is a 20s. So we're in the Yoo-Hoo room at Flappers. Mm-hmm. That will be on That's Laura House's show. Oh, sorry, that's Wednesday, April 6th. But that's a really good show because it's going to be me, Jackie Cation, Laura House, Maria Bamford, and Lori Kilmartin.
I love those ladies.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a small room, so everyone's going to be, like, doing new stuff. And,
that's great.
And doing stuff. But Tony Kameen has a record store show.
I like him.
He's great. Him and Kevin Kataoka have started a show.
I like him. We talked for a long time about all of us in this car and things that going on. Kevin Kataoka.
You and Kevin did recently?
Yeah, I ran into him out in the streets where I hang.
In the streets where you're from?
Shit, I can't find this. It's I think it's High Fidelity Records in Eagle Rock.
Cool.
And that is on, it's on Monday, March 28th.
Cool.
But then, me and April are starting our own show at the Improv
what?
Lab. Will
yeah,
you do it?
Yeah, be on it.
What? Were you guys going to ask me if I wasn't here right
yeah,
now?
Donnie.
Yeah, I'll do it. The answer is yes.
You're on the list.
Are you, Donnie?
It's Wednesday, April 13th at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Everybody listening right now, please come to our show. It's going to be me. It's going to be April. It's going to be Chris Fairbanks.
Yeah.
It's going to be perhaps Chris Hardwick.
Yes.
Chris Hardwick.
Cool.
And probably four other guests that we booked.
Everyone else named
really,
Chris.
If you really like everyone on that list, and you might because you're listening right now, you should be a weirdo. Buy a ticket from Baltimore or wherever you are. Come to the show.
Come out.
Blow it. Make a night of it. The Improv, you'll do something else. Just tell your boss you need some time off.
And it is a Wednesday, but you could take a long weekend. You deserve it?
Yeah, you're addicted to your work, and frankly, it's affecting your health.
Also, it's Thomas Jefferson's birthday that day, so
yes,
really,
you might even have the day off work.
Make a day of it.
Or work and hate America while you hate us.
I mean, there's so many.
It's your dumb job, your
options.
Boring job.
So many options.
Where you just sit there, keep sitting there all week, you piece of shit. Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. It's at the end of the episode.
You're just losing it. Well, we haven't done one in a while, so thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We love your loyalty, even though
we've
become a bi-monthly.
Yeah.
But is it bi-monthly? No, that would be every 2 months.
Yeah.
Bi-week?
Well, that's every other.
It's every other. Sometimes there might be three.
I think it's
if the month starts with a Monday, it likely ends with an additional fourth Monday.
So we usually do it.
Or fifth, sorry.
At like every other week or every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We're doing our best.
We're doing our best, and so are you. Thank you for drying.
Thank you for drying your clothes and not getting that.
As
Chris is
many
falling
of you
asleep.
Know, I drift off to sleep at the end of each episode. And
he's absolutely had it.
We're over on four. I'm usually 4 minutes into a nap by now.
Oh, okay. So then we better get off.
April,
thank you.
It's good to see you again.
You're welcome. Likewise.
Thank you
for being our first triplet. First tripler.
Three-timer club. I like it.
Been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
D-Y-N-A-R.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off. Style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.